Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Dr. Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our Prayer Room Ministry. And we're so excited to be back on our radio broadcast on today. We just give God all praise and all reverence go to him, who is my life, to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to everyone in their respective places. I just thank and praise God on tonight for another opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast on this evening. We just give God all the praise and all the glory on tonight. We're going to get ready to call our Bible class to order now. We're going to have just a short devotion, a song of scripture, and a prayer. The song might not even play, but we're going to try. So we're going to have a scripture first, then a song, then a prayer. Amen. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thy ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. My enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of thy indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. I have just read you the first 10 verses of Psalms 102. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy words. We're going to try to have a song played. I don't know if it'll play or not because having problems down here in the basement.
Anyone over to why they're greater than the Lord? God, Dr. God, I love you so much. Come on, something sound better than that,
you
And Moses went up unto God and the Lord. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my command, my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders and of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the word of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon the Mount of Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourself that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the borders of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth alone, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people. And they washed their clothes. Excuse me. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the neither part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also who come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Chapter 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord would not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them is, and rest the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear it, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your face, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto your gods of gold. And also of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, and thy sheep, and thy oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by stealth unto my altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Amen. Chapter 19, y'all. You get it right. Even though I studied the wrong chapter, but it was the right one. I think I studied this last week. I don't know. Anyway. Chapter 19. How long after leaving Egypt did Israel arrive in the wilderness of Mount Sinai? How long? First verse.
Third month.
That's right. What was Israel to be ready for in 3 days? What was they supposed to be ready for in 3 days? were to, you know, God wanted them to be ready against the 3 days. He told Moses to tell them to prepare to talk to God, to meet God with God on Mount Sinai, as he instructed Moses to tell them. What preparation did the people of Israel make before the third day? What did they do? What did he tell Moses to have them to do? Okay. They are supposed, I was trying to find the verse. They are supposed to wash their clothes, sanctify. Let's see. They were to consecrate themselves by washing their clothes and staying away from sexual contact with their wives. Okay. Verse 3. What would happen to the people if they set foot on the mountain while God was there?
They would die.
What would they do? Yeah, they would die. Okay, we're in chapter 20. What was the first set of instructions that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai? What was the first set of instructions he gave to Moses on Mount Sinai? Okay, he gave him the Ten Commandments. He gave the Ten Commandments. The first four of the commandments pertain to our service and duty to God. The last six pertain to our duty to each other. Question number two. What does talking to God's name in vain mean? What does taking God's name in vain mean? When you take God's name in vain, but you claiming to be of God, but you're not living according to his will, and that is taking his name in vain, let me try to give an example. It's like taking, blessing people, and I ain't never cursed nobody, but blessing and cursing people while not seriously knowing God yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's not always using that GD word, but it's when you know you're not in God, but you acting like you in God, and you always talking about God, so you can feel like you're somebody, or try to let people know that you of God, but you really not. And you using his name in vain because you're not there where you trying to make people think you are. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Number two. Okay, this one. Okay, what is the promise given if you honor your father and mother? What is that promise given if you honor your father and mother? I know everybody ought to know that. You'll live a long life.
Oh, I was about to say.
You'll live a long life. your life will be extended. Okay. What does it mean to bear false witness against someone? Because I want you all to know these things, because a lot of times we, like using God's name in vain, may mean, you know, we probably had the wrong understanding of it. And I was just thinking, like, if you curse and using his name, you know what I'm saying? But it did say, you know, it's like blessing and cursing. If you curse using God's name, that's in vain too. But number three, what does it mean to bear false witness against someone?
Is it to lie on them?
Yep, it means to tell a lie on them. Or something to sway judgment or opinion against them. Tell somebody so they can form an opinion against them. By being a false witness or something like that. What does it mean to covenant?
Is that like having sex?
Well, you know, it's to want what your it's to want what your neighbor has, that you devise a way to take it, what's rightfully theirs. You know, people, for instance, this lady live in the back of me. She, I don't know. Anyway, I ain't gonna tell y'all this. But it's like you want what your neighbor got next door, or this lady next door over here, lady next door over here on my other side, not where the young man live, but on the other side, she feed a lot of the animals and stuff like that. But what if I was, you know, man, I wish I could feed the animals. I ought to do something to make them animals stop. I ought to put a gate up so the animals can't walk through here to get to the house. You know, something like that. Or, you know, if I see my neighbor doing something and I jump up and try to do something better. You know what I'm saying? It's, I don't like that. I see that all the time. And believe me, if to keep you from being jealous of somebody, you should just go get you one. If I paint my house red, go get your paintbrush and paint yours red or white, whatever color you want. That's how you keep from getting into that stuff. Just don't have no wrong motive with it. But it's a lot of people do. And I be seeing so much, and I be saying they can't be meaning this, Lord. And you have to get out of it. You know, you have to get out of it. A lot of things, because the devil may have you thinking all kind of stuff. I'm telling you, you have to cast that stuff to the side. Okay, let me go for it. So, when the people saw the smoke and heard the thundering and lightning and the sound of the trumpet, how did they react? They was afraid. How would y'all react? I would have just said, I was afraid. Because I would have been afraid. Just let some thunder and lightning come too long and stay too long and see how we going to act. Oh, it's okay for it to thunder and lightning a little while, but let it come too long. We'll be running around here, what's going on? What's turning the weather on? And all this kind of stuff. They were afraid too. When they saw the power of God before them, just like I think we would have been the same way. I think we would have been. What did they ask Moses to do for them? They asked Moses to speak to them instead of God speaking to them. They might die. They was afraid of God. They was afraid of God. They didn't want to hear nothing he had to say because it was loud. Everything was loud. His voice was loud. So, you know, he hid in a black cloud up by the mountain, but they could hear him really good, and they didn't want him to speak. That's why they said, let Moses speak. Number four, how did God want them to build an altar to him? How did God want them to build an altar?
Is it an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offering and thy peace offering, thy sheep and thy oxen, and all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee.
Mm-hmm.
And if thou make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it on hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it.
That's right. That's right. He wanted them to make an altar with natural stone so they would not have to use anything on the stone because it would contaminate it. So that's why he said, just make me a natural earthly stone. Use them to make me an altar. Don't get no other kind of stone, because if you do, you're going to have to use the tool on it, and it'll contaminate it. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to be made with natural stone. All right. Why was there to be no step up to the altar?
Neither shalt thou go up by stealth unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered therein.
That's right. For practical reasons, God did not want them or their nakedness exposed on his holy altar. Now, I'm going to have to kind of explain that a little, because that kind of threw me for a loop. And I need to know what he's talking about when he's saying that. Well, I'm about to find out.
So is he talking about like their sin?
I guess so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm reading this commentary, so I'm gonna read for y'all. It said, many people would like to deal nice and love yourself up to the altar. That would be very convenient. But in that day, a man wore a kind of a skirt. You know, they didn't have pants on them. And to climb steps, he would have to lift up the skirt. And his nakedness would be revealed. God says, I do not want to see your nakedness. That would speak of the flesh God cannot use. Mm-hmm. So that's what it was. He was wearing something that men back then wore. You know, those long, I ain't going to say no gown, but they wore long, whatever that was. And they do. If they was coming up some steps, that's why they didn't want them to build no steps, they would have to raise it up in order to step up some steps. That's what he was talking about. And go over the Ten Commandments right quick. Can't go over them quick, but he said, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. God is commanding polytheism, which is the belief in more than one God, is condemning polytheism, which is the belief of more than one God. That's what that means. Thou shalt not have no other God before him. There is no commandment against atheism. There was none in those days because they were too close to the creation and the original revelation of God. The atheism began to occur during the time of King David, and they were called fools. Psalms 53:1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Today, the atheism can be a college professor and considered to be a brain and an intellectual, but God says he is a fool. Okay. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third, fourth, and fourth generation of them that hate me. Some people may feel that this passage does not apply to us today. Colossians 3:5 tells us that covetousness is idolatry. Anything that you give yourself to, especially in abandonment, becomes your God. Many people do not worship Baker. No, Bacchus, the cloven-footed Greek and Roman god of wine and rivalry of long ago, but they worship the bottles just the same. There are millions of alcoholics in our country right now. The liquor interest like to tell us about how much of the tax burden they carry, when actually they do not pay a fraction of the bill for the casualties they cause by their product. A lot of propaganda is being fed to this generation, and large groups of people are being brainwashed. Whether or not folk recognize it, they worship the god Bacchus. That's that wine alcohol. Other people worship Aphrodite. That is the goddess of sex. Some people worship money. Anything to which you give your time, heart, and soul becomes your god. God says that we are not to have any gods before him. Okay, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord would not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Using the Lord's name in vain means in the way of blasphemy. That is very prevalent in our day and age, but his commandment still stands. It is wrong to use God's name in vain because he is God and he is holy. It is also revealed a lack of vocabulary. For lack of vocabulary, many people cannot express themselves without using profanity. A man who was wonderfully converted several years ago in Texas. Now the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou honor and do all thy works, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and in it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Sabbath day was given to the nation Israel in a very unusual way. It was a covenant, a token between God and the children of Israel. We say, we shall see that in Exodus 31:13-17. The exact day, in my opinion, is not important. After all, the calendar changes that have been made make it impossible for us to know whether our seventh day is our Saturday or not. That's what this commentary says. I do not think it is, but that is besides the point, because as far as we are concerned, it makes no difference what day we observe. We can't keep what we believe is the first day of the week. It may or may not be, but we recognize the first day of our week because our Lord came back from the dead on that day. All of this will be dealt with later on in the book of Exodus. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. A father and a mother should be worthy of the honor of their children. We will speak more of this commandment later. Okay, the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. This verse is used by many people who are opposed to a particular war. Many young men have talked to me about it. Anyway, the commandment, thou shalt not kill, was not given to a nation. It was given to an individual. One man should not kill another one. No one should go to any country on his own and kill. Thou shalt not kill. It has nothing to do with soldier service or with executions of criminals. A nation is given an authority to protect human life by taking human life. Thou shalt not kill is a commandment to the individual, and it is speaking of murder, which our Lord says, come from anger, and we are not even to be angry with our brother. Okay, the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. We're living today in the middle of a sex revolution. Sex is certainly not new, but it is still adultery when it is committed outside of wedlock. God makes this very clear. Man may think he has changed this commandment, but he has not. This commandment still stands. The eighth commandment says, thou shalt not steal. Shall not steal. The point I would like to make here is that if you are permitted to commit adultery, then you should be permitted to steal, so forth. This whole package goes together. If one is all right to indulge in, then all should be right. If one is wrong, then all are wrong. So in other words, he's saying you can't commit adultery, you can't steal, you can't kill. You're supposed to. Then it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Bearing false witness against your neighbor is lying on your neighbor. The 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. Covenant, according to the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3 and 5, is idolatry. This is one of the great sins of the present hour. God condemns killing, adultery, stealing, bearing false witness, and covenant. We will have an occasion to look at the Ten Commandments in a different way later on. We will, because it's all, we got to get all that together. Okay, number 18, verse 18 and 19. And this just affects God's visiting. God has given the children of Israel the more code, which is the Ten Commandments. However, there is more to the law than the moral code. God will also give them the part of the law which deals with social legislation. He will also give them instructions concerning an altar and the building of the tabernacle. The book of Leviticus gives in detail the service of the tabernacle. It is all part of the law. It all goes in one package. It says, and all the people saw the thunder and the lightning, and the noise of the trumpet of the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And when the Israelites saw the thunder and the lightning, they were afraid and backed away from the mountain. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his spirit may be before your faces, that ye sin not. The law presents a very high standard. The law of the Lord is perfect. It commands, it demands perfection. If you were trying to be saved by keeping the law, you will have to be perfect. If you are not perfect, you cannot be saved by the law. I thank God that under grace, he can take a poor sinner just like me and save me. Grace reveals something of the goodness and wonder of one of our God. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have taken talk with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, nor neither shall ye make unto your gods of gold. It is important to see why God appears in just this way to the children of Israel. It's evidence that God wants to impress upon them that he is a living God. Remember that they were reared in Egypt with idols all around them. Their parents was in Egypt, and they got pregnant up in Egypt, had these children, and they were and are adultery, as we shall see. They are worshiping the creator, the creature, rather than the creator. God is moving closer to these people than he ever has before. So does anyone have any questions or any comments about anything? I was almost done, but I'm going to let it go. I just wanted to get the Ten Commandments out so we can know about them. Does anyone have any questions or anything? And the instructions concerning the altar, God has given Israel the Ten Commandments. Now, along with the Ten Commandments, God gives instructions for an altar. And the altar is used for sacrifice. The altar speaks of the cross of Christ and the blood that he shed. This altar is the one they built before the tabernacle was made. Apparently, everywhere they journeyed, they made one like this. They made an altar. And the altar of earth, thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, thy peace offering, thy sheep, thy oxen, in all places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. There is no mention of presenting a sin offering on this altar. The peace offering reveals that man needs a sacrifice that will reconcile him to God, and that Christ did make peace by the blood of his cross. The burnt offering speaks of who Christ is. It speaks of his worthiness and ability to save. This altar was to be made of earth and was the place upon which the Israelites were to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. The sin and the trespass offerings were given to Israel later. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. There is an important lesson in this verse. God wanted them to build a plain altar of stone with no engraving. Perhaps an engraver would want to make the altar appealing, attractive looking, and very beautiful. The moment a tool is put on the to the stone, it is polluted or contaminated. God rejects it. And you know, when Corinth, when Paul went to the city of Corinth, he found the Corinthians to be quite philosophical. Many of them, of the heathen priests connected with the heathen religion, tried to identify with all the sins of Corinth. And when Paul arrived, these secondhand philosophers wanted to argue, discuss, and appear intellectual. These Corinthians were going in every direction. Paul had a similar experience in Athens. He tells these Corinthians, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And that's all we know. That's all I know. Because people think they know so much. And I only know what God give me and only say what God give me. Even when I study the Bible as much as I do, I wouldn't be able to understand it if God wouldn't give me what it means. Because even though we have commentaries and stuff, I'm not saying all of them wrong, but all of them ain't right. You know, everything, you know, God, I don't know. Anyway, I just feel like you can't take everything. You take the good, leave the bad. That's all I would say. Okay, neither shall thou go up by stealth unto my altar that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Many people are like, okay. We already went over that because the men wore skirts that they, I think they call them kilt. That's what they call them. No, they don't. That kilt is over there in England. No, they don't call them kilt. But them skirts over there in England, they up to their knees, they do call them kilt. But I believe those, what they had on back in Jesus' day was just long. Long, I ain't going to say a roll, but I'll say a roll before I say anything else. I know that. Mm-hmm. Do we have any questions or anything? I'm going to get ready to let you all go because it was a good to me. I understand it clearly, more so than I did before. The only thing I have a concern about when it says the iniquities of the father to the third and fourth generation, I'm going to look into that even more because I need to know what that means because we need to be able to know how to pray for our children because we don't know what our fathers did 3-4 generations ago. You know what I'm saying? So that concerns me right there. So and we need to know what to pray for. We just need to know. And the word is telling us these things. So when we see these things, ain't no use to squirm and stuff. We find out what they mean and we pray. Lord, you know, God will forgive. God is a forgiving God. So I know he'll do it. He'll forgive. Mm-hmm. So we got about 5 minutes. Anyone have anything before I get ready to close out? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been mighty quiet tonight. I don't know what's going on. So, Father, we're going to get ready to go. We just thank and praise God for another opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast for the study of the Word of God. Father, we just thank you now. We thank you now for your Word. We thank you for your giving us an understanding. Father, we just thank you tonight. We give you praise and we give you glory. We just magnify your holy name. Father, we just lift up the name of Jesus on tonight. We plead the blood of Jesus against every witch, every warlock, every wizard, every psychic. And Father, I ask you to send your fire down. You say, suffer a witch not to live in Exodus 22:18. Suffer a witch not to live. Now I'm asking you to send your fire down now to burn them up. Burn them up in the name of Jesus. Every one of them. Burn them up, God, in the name of Jesus. Set fire to them, Lord. You say, suffer not to live. Let them die now, every one of them. Destroy them in the realm of the spirit on tonight, Lord. In the name, I'm so sick of them, I don't know what to do. Just burn them up, God, in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against me and nobody on this radio broadcast will ever prosper in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you right now to cover each one of them in the blood of Jesus and encamp your angels all around about them to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger, including their families, in the name of Jesus. But, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to let every witch fall dead right now. In the name of Jesus, die now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for your word on tonight. I thank you for encouragement on tonight. I just ask all these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. God bless you all. You all have a good night and blessed night. I love you, and God love you too. Be blessed. Good night.
I love you. Good night.
Good night. I love you too.
Love you. Good night.
Love you too.
Love you. Good night.
Good night. Love you too.